you probably already know, is because I'm going to start this morning with a story. We're going to be speaking on the house of God. It's February the 25th, and we're going to be celebrating Jesus in every sermon. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. The house of God. A long, long time ago, but not too far away, we had two little girls that were the first of our grandkids, Katie and Morgan. I'd say Morgan was probably 1.5 to 2, so that would have made Katie, 4 or 5, 6, something like that. And we came and turned onto the street going down by that coach's bar. And Morgan was kind of grumbling a little bit. And Katie said, "Morgan, you hate the house of God." And Morgan was now a little bit more upset. And she said, "Katie, I do not hate the house of God." "Well, why do you always get upset when we go to church?" And she said, "Well, they don't have any food there." Now, what we learned a little bit later was that Morgan had low blood sugar. And when she had to go big stretches without something to eat, it really bothered her. And so having that story, they kind of figured out Morgan needs a snack and got it fixed up pretty good. But I'll never forget how Morgan said, "I do not hate the house of God." And I thought that was such a precious story. I would like you to turn in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and verses 12 through 16. I'm kind of reading these out of order. What are we doing? That's too much. How's that?
It's good.
Good. I'm going to read these out of order. We're going to be doing the second cleansing, and then we'll be doing the first cleansing, which will be in the book of John, chapter 2. But in Matthew 21, 12 through 16, Jesus cleanses the temple. "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did," listen to that, "the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.'" That's taken out of Psalms 8. And then we're going to drop down to the first cleansing that happened in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and this is in John 2, 13 through 22. And it said, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise.' Then the disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.' So the Jews answered and said unto him, 'What sign do you show us since you do these things?' In other words, they were saying, what makes you think you can get away with this? And Jesus answered to them and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They asked one question. Jesus gave them an answer that was way different, but fulfilling in his ministry and his purpose. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. So I want to establish this morning that Jesus loved the house of God. And the house of God that we are in today is different than the temple. The temple had a lot of different components to it, and it was a system that actually pointed to the ministry of Jesus, to the purpose of Jesus, of being Jesus was the sacrifice, the high priest, and the temple. Now, we're going to see this fulfilled. I thought it would be a good thing to bring in the ark of the presence of God. This is something that Brother Don Dryden built, and for someone that was studying the temple, that way you can still get around if we have to rush out. This is correct measurements. Now, the real ark was covered with gold, and this is painted gold. But this is a great example of what was in the holiest place that no one but the high priest was able to see. But man made that, and that represented the presence of God. God was to be living between the mercy seat and the angels. That's his presence. That's his place. The reason Jesus loved the house of God was because it was his Father's house. It was his house. And what these people were doing were desecrating his house. And what they had done is taken the Gentile court, kind of a porch that Herod had built, and no doubt it was very beautiful, very well done, not any expense spared. Not as beautiful as Solomon's temple, but still, nonetheless, a very beautiful place. But they had set up rows after row of flea market type people that were selling sacrifices, doves, and all that would be acceptable in the house, in the temple. And you couldn't give your temple tax with the Roman emperor's face on it. So they had to change that money out to temple money, or the money that Israel would recognize, the gold and all that. And so in doing that exchange, they were making a lot of profit. And what Jesus was upset with was both that they were selling and doing this in his Father's house, and that there was no place for the Gentiles to come in and worship. The Gentiles couldn't go very far in the temple. That was it. They could go into that very, very outside area, but they couldn't go inside the holy place. They couldn't go inside the outer courtyard, just on that outskirts of the temple. And so the Gentiles were left out. And I think in clearing this out, Jesus made us to know that he was going to die for the whole world, not just the Jews, but all of us. How many remember that old Western rawhide? Rolling, rolling, rolling. Yeah. When Jesus got carried away here, these things were going everywhere, these animals. Some say that he opened the cage and let the doves out, and others say he told them, get these cages out of here or it's going to be a mess. Now, in the second reading, which was the first time that Jesus cleansed the temple in the book of John, he got some cords and put them together. And he was moving them out, moving them out. Years ago, I was in French class in my sophomore year. Our teacher was Miss Valamas, and she was animated, and she'd get mad a lot with us. I remember her telling me one time something about professor, and I thought, what does that mean, professor? Oh. And she said, how long does it take for you to get that? But someone said to her one time, why are you always so mad? They said something about Jesus, wouldn't like that. She said, Jesus got mad. And we were all up in arms. You know, that was back when people were up in arms over something said about Jesus. And she said, I read the Bible in Greek. And I know that Jesus was mad when he put those cords together and he began to cleanse the temple. So we kind of thought we had something on her, and she knew it better than we did. And I don't know if that excuses all that she did, but at least she was a teacher, and we understood that. But Jesus was very unhappy with what they were doing in the temple. And he said, this should be a place where people come and draw near unto God and pray and seek God and find mercy. And so I want to go over how the church started. We remember the first was the tabernacle. And it was laid out exactly the same as the temple, only made in a way that they could take it down and travel with it. It was like a travel trailer temple or tabernacle. And they could break it all down and protect everything and take it on the road. And that's what God gave to Moses in the law. And this was around 1450 or 1460 B.C. And then Solomon had the honor of building the temple that was going to be stationary right where the mosque, the Muslim mosque is today. Same spot. But Solomon built a temple that was done in about 960 B.C. And it was, some estimations are that it was over $1 trillion that was spent on that. So you know, that was a beautiful, beautiful place. And that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. And then last week we talked about Zerubbabel and Joshua rebuilding in 520 to 516 B.C. The prophet Haggai prophesies about the glory of the former temple and says, but this one is going to receive even more glory. He did that in about 520 B.C. Tonight we'll look a little bit more into this prophecy. Then Herod the Great began to either refurbish or rebuild. I've got two different thoughts on that. Different commentaries say different things. One thing we know about Herod was he did this to get on the good side of the people, and he was an Edomite. They really didn't care about him doing much anything to their temple, but they still enjoyed the beauty of what he built, and it took about 46 years to do it. Whether he rebuilt it or refurbished it, it was absolutely beautiful and made better than the one that Zerubbabel built, but not as good as the one that Solomon built. But this is still the one where Jesus came into. And then he was dedicated in about 6 to 4 B.C., and he amazed the teachers, the doctors, the professors in about 7 A.D., and Jesus was condemned in and around the temple and by the people who ran the temple in about 30 A.D., and the Romans destroyed it in about 70 A.D. And right now the mosque sits there, and this must really irritate the Jewish people. But the temple will be rebuilt. I don't know when. I kind of think that the Antichrist is going to get that going in order for the Jews to fall in love with him and to think that he's their Messiah. That's just my thoughts. The temple will be rebuilt because the Antichrist will defile that temple in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation. But Jesus will restore it in the millennial reign. According to Jimmy Swaggart, it'll be 45 miles square. And then the holy city will come and land on that spot after the earth is renovated, and it'll be 1,500 miles, either cubed or pyramid. I don't know which. We'll wait and see. We won't take bets on that. We're just going to wait and see, okay? How many's been to a lot of different churches? You've visited, you've seen some that are... We went to the one in New York, the I think it's St. Patrick's, big, beautiful church, and we've seen a few churches in other places, but when I first started, I went to a little church in Shields, Kentucky, and it was not fancy. It was very not fancy. We had one heat source that was a big potbelly stove in the middle of it. And if you got your offering out and there was coins and you dropped them on the floor, you could well lose them down into the cracks. It was a rough place. But it was a little bit better than Pastor Sanders. It was down the street closer to our school because he had sawdust on his floors. At least we had wood floors. Pastor Sanders also did snake handling, and unfortunately he died when I was in first grade. Our church didn't do snake handling, so our pastor stayed alive. We're thankful for that. And then there was a Baptist church that I went to with the neighbor, Mr. Bryant. I think he was a deacon or something in the church. And Mom and Dad didn't go to Sunday school at that time, so he'd take me down to the Baptist church. Now, that church was very nice, and they had lawn out front. Most of our churches didn't see any grass at all. It was just parking, you know, everybody parking all the way around the church. So when we moved to California, we found a church in Alameda. We never lived in Alameda, but well, Debbie and I did, but not growing up. We lived in Oakland and San Leandro, but that was a theater building, and it was a good sized building. It was very nice. And Sister Hookie one time said, "Do you guys still have that dark theater building?" I said, "No, we painted it. It's bright now." But she wasn't impressed with that theater building because there was no windows in that building. You walked in, there was other buildings on each side. So there was only light coming in from the front, and the back was completely closed up. We never even went back there. But those churches represent places where we went and we loved the Lord. Now, after that church, I came to Calvary Temple. When I first came, we had three rows of pews, and we didn't have the yellow curtains yet. That was later when we got these orange seats. But it was a beautiful church. It was red seats, red pews, and red curtains, and it looked very, very nice. And then Debbie and I was married here, the kids dedicated here. And it means a whole lot to have a home church. You know what I thought? That there's a lot of people that were born into this church and you're still here. There's quite a few. That's amazing to have that association. There's other churches that we've been to. Debbie and I pastored in Tulare and Morgan Hill. And then when we left during the 80s to go to Texas, we went to Trinity Chapel, where Brother Clearman had been the pastor for 25 years. I don't know how long ago that's been, but he's still the pastor now. So we're thankful for Brother Clearman and Trinity Chapel. But these are places where people have gone in and worshiped the Lord. Some have been saved. How many was saved in this church? Got a few. How many was saved in church? Praise God. The Lord can save you wherever. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful for churches that are dedicated to worshiping the Lord, where the Spirit of God can come in. You know, the temple that Solomon built, when it was dedicated, the presence of God was so heavy that the people had to leave. They couldn't stand in the presence of God. And God gave Solomon this promise: if my people, this is 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Isn't it amazing what God can do when we render ourselves and give him a place? I think that the importance of the building, it's not everything in the Christian church, but it's nice to have a place that you can gather and feel the Spirit of God and know that when you come in, that God will minister to you and bless you and strengthen you. There's a lot of church services on TV. There's a few that we really feel a kindred spirit to. And we appreciate their music and we appreciate their worship. And it's all because it's all done to glorify the Lord and to minister to people. We need ministering to. We need to receive from God. Why did Jesus love the temple? Because he wanted to make sure that he did his job and allowed people to understand that the fellowship was going to be greater after he did his work on the cross. That things were going to change. Not altogether about the building, but it was what led up to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, and then we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. And the word of God says, do you not know? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Isn't that amazing? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now that second verse, boy, that's a stern warning. But the first verse, that we are the temple of God, that's pretty amazing. That's wonderful. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We understand that Paul was ministering to the Corinthian people who were, before being Christians, pagans. And the pagan worship was one of perversion and pleasing the flesh. And Paul wanted them to understand we're different than that. We've come to a different place. Paul wanted them to understand that now their bodies were a dwelling place of God. And some, I know I was attending a service in a Sacramento area. I don't even remember what part it was, but our former youth director was there, and we went to visit on a Sunday morning, and he said, I might shock Jim with this, but I believe that when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit into your life. And I didn't act too surprised because I thought I could handle that. I believe that as well. When you're saved, you receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just don't think you can separate the Trinity. But there is another thing that can happen to you, and that's when the Holy Spirit just overwhelms and takes over your life. We hear a lot of possession of the devil. Ha! That's ugly and awful. But there is a possession of God that takes place when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And that's a whole nother realm of glory and power. Yeah, we still believe that you need to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance because that's what the Bible says. It's not our idea. And isn't it amazing that all over the world, in every culture, that there are people that are speaking in tongues, even though, there's a lot of disagreement about it. But still, today, all over the world, people are finding the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So I want us to realize we are the temple of God. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're not like the pagans who just did whatever they wanted to please themselves. We belong to Jesus. He paid for us. He bought us. He created us, and then he paid the price on Calvary. We altogether belong to him, but we can have sweet fellowship with the Lord. He's inside. We don't have to go to church to have a little talk with Jesus. We can just do church wherever we want. We can call on the name of the Lord. I'm not speaking against church. I believe in church a lot. I think it's important. I think that forsake not the assembling yourselves together is a thing. But we can, wherever we're at, wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. I believe that's the way it is. And we have Jesus dwelling in us. If I need something from Safeway, I have to jump in the car and go to Safeway and get it. If I need something from the Lord, the church is about the same distance from my house as Safeway. Maybe another 400 yards or something like that, but close. But if I need something from Jesus, I don't have to go to the church. I can just open my heart and seek and find Jesus. But I am thankful that we have a place that we worship God. And really, nothing else goes on here but worshiping the Lord. I was working for a little man that went to Grandma's church, the Campbell Baptist. He was so careful with money. How's that? And I was working on a doorknob for him. The doorknob wasn't working. Today, I would tell him, if you want that fixed, you'll buy a new one and I'll install it for you. I'm not going to spend time on a doorknob that's, it can be replaced so easily and so inexpensively and it'll be brand new. But then I was down on my knees and I was taking that apart and trying to realign it and get it to work. And he got anointed talking about church. And what he was talking about was they had a kitchen at their church. And he said, when I'm in church and I smell that food coming into the church, it makes me so angry. And he hit me right on the head with something that he had on his hand. And I'm thinking, this is not right. Did I disagree with him? No. I left him alone because he was anointed with that. Now, my feelings are much different. If there's cooking going on and we're going to partake of that after church, I'm good with that. If someone has records and they want to sell them in back of the church, I'm okay with that. But I'm thankful that we have a sanctuary. Whether there's food coming in or not, we can raise our hands and we have the freedom to worship the Lord. But I'm even more thankful that if I'm up against it somewhere out on a job and I need some help, that the Lord is with me. I was in a hurry yesterday to dump a trailer that one of my clients had filled up with his demoing his kitchen. And I walked out the door and got in the truck. And then I thought, I need keys because I locked that trailer hitch so no one could steal it. And I said, Lord, I appreciate you helping me. Because if I didn't remember that, I'd get there, then I would remember and have to come back. That would have been a half an hour. God is so merciful to us in so many ways, both little and great. But the greatest thing is he's got you covered. And in this church, your grandchildren are going to be more beautiful than any other grandchildren in the world. What a blessing that is. Praise God. Debbie, would you come? Anything that you need, the Lord is ready to minister to you. He loves you so much. Jesus died so that we could have the fellowship, so we could be the temple of God. Now, I didn't say a lot about if anyone defiles a temple, God will destroy him. But that's what happens when God gives you such a wonderful gift of mercy. If we push it away, there's going to be judgment. Because the price that Jesus paid on Calvary was everything that he had, his whole life. And as he gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished," that work was done. And then 3 days later, he would do exactly what he said to those Jews that were asking, why do you think you can get away with this? Jesus knew he could get away with it because he was going to be resurrected, all power. And he was going to establish the church in a wonderful way. Let's pray today. Precious Jesus, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your people. And I pray, Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for other churches that are presenting you today and lifting up your name. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, and we pray your strength and your mercy. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, reach into the soul, reach into the hearts of each and every one. Lord, and show us your grace and your power. Holy God, holy God, minister help. Minister help. Lord, we exalt you and we honor your precious name. You're holy. You're holy, Lord. Holy Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Is there anyone here that would like prayer this morning for anything? You would like prayer. You would like the congregation to just hold you up. Then, Michael? No, okay. Praise God. Anyone, if you want anything from the Lord, we'll pray for you today. Pray God's strength and blessing. Then let's all just find us a place at your seat, at the altar, at the front, and let's have a little talk with Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Henry today. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring strength and healing in his body. Lord God, as his days are, that you'll give him strength for that day. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister help. Lord, that you'll hold him in your arms and strengthen his body. Lord, you've given us this hope and salvation that we can be healed. Lord, that we can be ministered to. We love and honor you. Bring your power of your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, touch Brother Art. Today, oh God, give him strength. Lord, minister to all of his needs today. Lord, your Holy Spirit working now mightily, Jesus. Lord, reveal yourself and your power in his life right now. Help him, oh God. Help him, oh God, with every step and with everything that he faces, with every obstacle. Bring it down in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Hallelujah. Holy Jesus, holy Jesus, holy Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Holy God, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, by your Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 We bring honor to your name. We bring honor to your name. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. That the Lord will bring strength to everyone today in Revelation. I heard a young man say this morning that your miracle is right around the corner. And I thought, that's good, but I want to see the miracle on the doorstep. Like Amazon. How many gets Amazon? You got to get Amazon. That's so fun. Because Amazon comes and they'll ring the doorbell and leave. And I pray that the Lord will bring your miracle right on the door. And when you open the door, that on the way to the door, the Lord will say, this is what I'm bringing you. How many would like that? Revelation and the miracle power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand if you'd like, but we're going to pray blessing. Lord, bless each and every one of us. Help us to go today in the strength of your power. And Lord, bless everyone. Bless everything we do today. And bless this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.